going to go. And a little bit of review here as we started last week, how David got to the valley of Elah. And this is the chapter that records that story, the battle. I should say it records the battle, and then it shares with us great things that we can learn about what David and others did. We saw, first of all, in chapter 16, where God used Samuel to anoint David to be the next king. We saw that in verses 7 through 13, I believe it was, where he came and visited. Remember, he saw Jesse and all these sons. How many sons did Jesse have, by the way? He had 8, but he only had 7 there. He said, okay, David, you go get busy. We got something to attend to. because he was the youngest. And yet, God told Samuel, no, it's not this guy, it's not this guy. I'm looking for the one who has a heart after me. And David was that one young man that God chose. God chose the man after God's own heart. We see that in chapter 13, where God wanted a surrendered man, and that's who he chose. He did give Israel Saul. Why did they want Saul? What was the reason that we discussed that Israel wanted Saul to be their king? He was head and shoulders over everybody. And he was a good warrior. I mean, you think about as we read through his time as king, he was a military leader of sorts. Certainly God helped with that, but he had some good points, but unfortunately some bad points too. One big one that stood out was that he would disobey God at his convenience and choose otherwise. The Bible tells us that God sanctified David to accomplish the call. Let's take a look at this, chapter 16. Look at verse number 7 with me, if you would. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Then verse number 18, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning and playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Isn't that interesting? He had that testimony even as a young man and not well known yet. God certainly puts high value on the heart. I think one of the passages I forgot to have us read is James chapter 4. Let's go there. James chapter 4 last week. I skipped a few of these because I just didn't see it, I guess. Let's go to James 4 and then we'll continue on. Kind of sets us up for finishing today. God gives grace to the heart that is submitted to him. James 4, verse 5. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. David, the Bible tells us, had a heart that wanted to follow and live for God. Did he ever stop living for God at some point? Well, there was a moment. Yeah, there was a time that he chose to do what he wanted to do, and he dealt with the consequences of that. Yet he did exactly what we here read in James chapter 4. He repented of that and asked God to continue to use him, which he did. David had a cause. He had a cause. Now let's read here in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, starting in verse number 16. Let's do that. We'll get the setting again here in verse number 16. And if you would read responsibly, we'll read down to verse number 29. Verse 29, that's where we want to stop here, starting in verse 16. I'll read verse 16. If you would please read 17 back and forth. Verse 29 is where we stop. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Okay, thank you very much. So we want to continue here today as we look at how David got to the Valley of Elah. Obviously, his father sent him, but this was clearly all of God's God orchestrating these things and kind of making a name for him on this day. And we'll look at that some more in just a minute. But let's go ahead and pray and ask God to help us as we look further into his word tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you as we consider this story tonight. It's true, it's history. And we pray, Father, that we would see your plan for the Christian life, the one who relies on you, Lord, relies on you completely. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we saw that David had a cause for God, but it wasn't a cause that he was looking for. It was a cause that kind of arose. He came upon it. The cause was already there, wasn't it? How many days was it there before he got there? Anybody remember? Well, I think we read it right at the very beginning of that passage there. 40 days, over a month. Every day, the Bible says, Goliath would come out. And at times, they would have some skirmishes, apparently. And when David came out, all that, when Goliath would come out, all that would stop. And Israel would retreat back to their side and say, "We don't want any part of you guys anymore." And day after day, then David came up and heard what his challenge was. David's motive. Let's take a look at that. David's motive. We do have some passages here if we could have some help here. Who would read verses 31 to 33 of 1 Samuel 17? 1 Samuel 17. All right, Isaac has that. And then Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. And Carter is going to read that for us. Thank you. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 to 31. Gunner, thank you. Then Philippians 4:13. Sister Fran's got that, thank you. Then we'll all look in Psalm 115. We'll all look there. So we see here David's motive. It was to defend God's honor. Who is this? Who is this that's come about, this uncircumcised, he says, who's come about to bring reproach on Israel? That has to stop. Something has to change. That he should, verse 26 is what I'm looking at, that he should defy the armies of the living God. He was wondering, what's the holdup here, guys? Why is everybody just sitting around acting like this guy can do this in front of your face? And he was very determined to change that. We see his cause was challenged. I think we looked at this a little bit last week. Let's take a look at it again. Verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He questioned David's heart. It says right there, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Not actions, not behavior. I know how you've been bad for dad. No, he said, I can look into your heart and see it. Is that true? No, we can't see each other's heart. We can't. They couldn't do it then, and we can't do it now. Other than when we express what's on the heart, we don't know. And yet God said, no, this is not the way it is. So Eliab questioned David's heart. Then verse 31 to 33 talks about another person who challenged him. Okay, thank you very much. Here we see that Saul questioned not David's ability, but God's ability. How many guys had he sent out to fight against Goliath? Zero. Not the captain of his host, not the best warriors he had, not the guys who nobody wanted to fight. He wouldn't send them out. They just continued to retreat. And yet here's this, the Bible calls him a youth. As you look in Scripture, you see the children, the infant, the child, the youth, and then the adult. That's kind of the progression of a person's life in Scripture. The infant, the child, the youth, then the adult. So I personally believe we don't know how old he was. Some people say that he was at least 20 years old. It's possible. I personally believe he was an older teenager, 17, 18 possibly, something like that. But the bottom line is, he was younger than most of the guys on the battlefield. And it was obvious to Saul, he's not ready for this. He's never been in a military situation before. And yet we're going to pin our hopes on you. And yet he wouldn't let anybody else go too. If he wasn't going to do that, you know who he really was not trusting? He was not trusting God. The God who said, I'll fight for you. And we can win if you look to me. Saul questioned God's ability to use anybody, not just David, but anybody else. Psalms 103 gives us an idea of where their heart, their mind, I should say, was at. 103 verses 1 through 5.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
Okay, thank you. Here, this is written in the future in 1 Samuel 17. David writes that, and he shares in his own mind and in his own heart with all of us, don't forget. Bless the Lord and don't forget his benefits, his blessings, and the way he cares for us. Both challengers, they forgot about the God of Israel. Hard to believe, isn't it? This was their life. I mean, everywhere they looked, God was supposedly in front of their face, on the walls of their buildings, and of course the tabernacle and so forth, all these things, and yet they forgot about him. They forgot that he could do anything. David's cause was challenged. Let's go on. Chapter 17. Let's start with verse 34 and read some more here. Verse 34. And we'll read to verse 51. Verse 51. So I'll start here, please. And if you would read again, verse 35, we'll go back and forth. Verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took his So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaarim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. What an amazing story. Pretty exciting, amen? It's better than anything you can see on TV or in the theaters. That's real life right there, brother. And what an exciting thing happened in that valley. The Bible tells us that David declared the conflict was God's to, here's the blank, win. It was God's to win. It wasn't for David. It was for God to win. Take a look in verse 37 there. We see David's preparation included past battles. Verse 37, he talked to Saul, said, hey, I've killed a lion, I've killed a bear. This kid was tough, man, wasn't he? He was a tough kid. And to grab him, the Bible says he'd grab him, the bear, was it, by the beard, and he slugged him out I wouldn't do that. Would you do that?
No.
I wouldn't do that. We've seen pictures of people who've been mauled by bears and things, and nobody in their right mind would want to do that, and yet he was fulfilling his job as the shepherd, protecting the sheep. Take a look at verse 37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." What did David, who did David give credit for killing that lion and bear? Well, I've been taking jujitsu, and I'm pretty good at it. Or I learned how to use these kinds of weapons. No, he gave the Lord all the credit. He said, "It was the Lord that delivered me." Obviously, he had something to do with it as well. God enabled him, gave him the weaponry, gave him the know-how at the moment, saved his life, and used him in a mighty way. And yet he said, "No, it was all God. It was all God." He had a complete confidence in God's ability. Here's the blank: to deliver. Why do you think he had complete confidence in God's ability to deliver that day, to deliver from Goliath? God's promise. Well, what a lot of times do we base our confidence on? On the past. We've seen it before. We know it can happen. And as tough as Goliath probably was, I'm not sure he's tougher than a lion. What do you think? Or they're probably maybe equal. I don't know. But whatever it was, David had no problem in God's hands to deliver him. Let's hear from verse number 40. Take a look there, verse 40. "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." David relied on God's armor, not man's. And I say armor because that's what Saul tried to put on him. Stones and the sling and so forth, they are more offensive weapons, of course, but he was relying on God's protection through the whole thing. No one would have expected somebody to come out with a sling to take on Goliath. Nobody, except 2, God and David. They were the only ones. And wow, what an exciting thing that happened. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 gives us an idea of, sometimes we get this idea we have to have the miraculous or fabulous or, you know, strength and so forth in order to take on Satan's forces or do something for the Lord. But the Bible tells us when Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, no, that's not necessary. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 to 31 talks about that. Yes, thank you. "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, I'm not suggesting you should try to get in a fight with somebody who's, you know, very experienced in those kinds of things. But, you know, what the point is not that we somehow overcome physically everything. It's spiritually we have a God who can overcome anything. And if we give ourselves to him, we can see great victories in a spiritual sense, as well as reaching the hearts of others for the Lord. David relied on God's armor, not man's. Let's go to the next one here. David's power for victory. Where was it? Verse 45. Let's take a look. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Whose name did he use to win the battle? The name of the Lord. That's the blank. David's power for victory was in the name of the Lord. And he kept sharing that, even as Goliath was down to his last moments. The Bible tells us, if we look in verse 43, that this was not kind of a, you know, David didn't go out with a little bit of hesitation necessarily. He knew apparently what he was getting into because he was ready to go. Look at verse 43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou, Okay, talking about his gods. What he didn't do is verse 48, I guess. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and did what? Verse 48, he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Man, he was anxious to let God have his way, wasn't he? I don't know if I would feel that way unless I was totally filled with the Spirit of God. But he certainly had God's Spirit in him at the time. The Bible talks about that in chapter 16. His power was in his name. Philippians 4:13 tells us we've got power like that even today. Philippians 4, verse 13. Amen. Amen. Yeah, and it's still true today. Still true today. We can get out of bed because Christ strengthens us. We can do what we need to do throughout the day because Christ strengthens us. Now, wait a minute. People without Christ can do things that I can do. No, but you can do it through Christ.
That's right.
You can do it through Christ. There's a difference. You're doing it for His glory, and you want to do it in His strength so that He does get the glory. David's power in the name of the Lord. David did not delay. That is the blank. Letter C. David did not delay and prevailed in battle. I read verse 43 there a moment ago. Here's what it says. And the Philistine, this is the latter part of verse 43, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. You know, he had other powers, if you will, that he was looking to. But he didn't have a god, he had gods, idols, and so forth, that he was looking to for help. They didn't help him out that day, did they? Why didn't they help him out that day? Because there is no other guy. Yeah, there is no others. You can't get help from something that doesn't exist. And the Bible tells us clearly he was not going to get that kind of help. But David's God is all powerful. That's the blank. Psalm 115, let's go there. Psalm 115, and read those together, please. Psalm 115. By the way, what is the connection between David's God and your God who sent Jesus to die for you that you put faith in? What's the connection there? It's the same guy, same God, same God. Let's read about him, verses 1 through 3. We're in Psalm 115. Let me read verses 1 through 3, and then all of us read verses 9 through 11. The whole chapter talks about it, but we want to hit these verses specifically before we pray. Verse 1 through 3, I'll read that. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Look at verse number 9. Would you read with me 9, 10, 11? Let's read those together, please. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. So he talks about it personally, Israel, Aaron, the priestly line. Then he says, by the way, if anybody out there is reading this who fears the Lord, trust the Lord. Yeah. Trust the Lord. So let's trust him. Amen? Let's trust him. That's what David did. He was victorious. Let's be trusting the Lord. Find a partner. Let's pray.